All right, we start at the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Bet by the Mishnah. Where it says, "Kamatei sela chasira v'loye be'ona'a." How much can a coin, right here, the coin in particular is a sela, how much can that coin be worn down? You know, again, in their day, the coins aren't simply representative of value, but the actual weight, right, and the shape of the form and the image on it determined its value and its ability to be used as a currency. So how much can the sela be missing and still qualify as a sela, right, and not be considered or classified as ona? So Rabbi Meir says, arba isarot, you can be missing four isarot because that's isar the dinar. So now just know the currency translations for them, right? A sela, we've discussed this before, a sela has in it four dinar, right? A sela has four dinar in it. Each dinar has six ma'ah, right? And every ma'ah has two pundion, right? And each pundion has two isar. So you have a good, all right, you guys have a chart there. It says 2 years. So you have, again, you have a sela, it's four dinar. A dinar is six ma'ah. A ma'ah is two pundion, and a pundion is two isar. Based on that, in every sela, right, if we take that, that's four times six times two times two, right, it would be 96.
Wait, ma'ah equals two pundion, and what's the next one?
And pundion equals two isar. So if you take that, that's 96. Every sela contains 96, right, isar inside of a sela. Now, Remeir says that you have arba isarot, four, right, out of 96. Four out of 96 would be 1/24th. So that's how much Rabbi Meir says is 1/24th, because he's defining it. He just says one pundion per dinar. One pundion per dinar, and since there are four dinar in a sela, that means four pundion per sela, which gets 4 out of 96, which is 1/24th. So 1/24th is Rabbi Meir's amount that you could be missing before you hit the ona. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, arba pundionot, right? So Rabbi Yehuda says, not 4 isar, but rather 4 pundion. So if he's taking the same 4 isarot now, and you take 4 pundion, right, it's twice as much, right? Because since there are 2 isar for every pundion, you're multiplying by 2. That means if Rabbi Meir thinks it's 1/24th, Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's 1/12th of the value. Now, pundion, the dinar, again, he phrases it in terms of dinar. There are 4 dinar in a sela, so if you take pundion per dinar, that means 4 pundion to the sela. Now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, shmona pundionot. So again, Rabbi Shimon, who has 8 instead of the 4 of Rabbi Yehuda, again, it's twice as many, right? So he'll be 1/6, like the shtut that we've seen before, exactly 1/6 of it, of the original amount. Shnei pundion the dinar. Again, he phrases it in dinar, 4 dinar in a sela. If you have 2 pundion per dinar, right, at that rate, you get 8 pundion to the total. And if you have 8 pundion to the total, it's 8 out of 48. 8 out of 48 is 1/6. So, ad matai mutar lachzir. Until when are you permitted to return this coin? Bakrachim, in major cities, ad kadesh shirei l'shulchani, until you've shown it to the money changer. Bakfarim, in the villages where the money changers aren't readily available, ad arvei shabbatot, until Erev Shabbos, because on Erev Shabbos, the person goes to expend the money, meaning that they use it for their tzorchei Shabbat, and they're going to find out whether the merchants accept it or not. So once he has the ability to use the coin, and he finds that he can't use the coin, then he has the right to return it. M'haya makira, if he recognizes it, this part of the Mishnah is ambiguous, the Gemara will discuss it. If he recognizes it, afilu achar shnimasar chodesh mikabla haimenu, even after 12 months, he receives it back from him. Ve'en lo alav elo taromet, and he only has complaints. Again, I'm not explaining it because it's not clear who they're speaking about and what it's speaking about. The Gemara will try to work that through. Ve'notna l'maser shini, you may use such a coin for maser shini. Ve'eno choshesh, you don't have to worry about it. She'eno nefesh ra'ah, because someone who does not accept such a coin is just a bad apple. Meaning that people, in general, currency is expected, coins are expected to wear down a little bit. And with slight wear and tear, most people will accept such a coin without any problems. If there's an individual who won't accept it, already he's just a bad apple, he's an exception to the rule, and therefore you could use this as a perfect currency to redeem Maaser Sheni on it.
If you have a coin that's all worn down, you can use it as a seller. As a seller,
all right, that will be subject to a machlokes harishonim at the end of today's daf when they discuss this part of the Mishnah, exactly what type of coin you're using for the Maaser Sheni over here, and we'll see because it's a brisa, and the Gemara will expand this, and then that might be a question: what the Mishnah is discussing here. Reminu. Ad kama tehesela chaseira vieba ona'a. Right, so now we have a brisa, but unlike our Mishnah starts out, which is kamate asela chaseira velo yehei ba'ona. How much should a sela be missing, right? Velo yehei ba'ona, and it will not have ona. Whereas the brisa begins, ad kamate asela chaseira viye ba'ona. So our Mishnah says that it's not ona, and over here it says there is ona, and the brisa continues exactly like our Mishnah, which is it gives the numbers of 1/24, 1/12, and 1/6. So our Mishnah coming says, how much can it be missing and it won't have ona'ah? And the Braisa says, well, how much can it be missing and it will have ona'ah? And they're giving the same numbers. Right, you have to say that. So Amar Papa Lokasha, Tana Didon Kochoshi Mimata Lamavo. Our Tana, meaning that our Mishnah is going from, you know, from we call it from bottom to top, but meaning that they're going from a whole point, he's moving to the point, right, until they will be ona'ah. So how much, he says, okay, how much can a full point, missing a little bit, missing a little more, missing a little more, all that is not ona'ah till you reach these numbers of 1/24, 1/12, 1/6. At that point, it will be ona'ah. And in the hand, Tana Bara, the price is kachosh milamala lamata, the other way around. If the coin is missing so much, it's clearly ona'ah, until you go from like 1/8, 1/7, 1/6, I mean, the other way around, it should be 1/4, 1/5, then to 1/6, and if you get to 1/6, then, right, you've hit the point that's the last point of ona'ah. After that, it's not ona'ah anymore. But everybody agrees, right, that at these shiurim themselves are ona'ah. Okay, mashna, besela de pligig, mashmai, mishna, de tali de lo pligig. What's the difference between the coins in our Mishnah, where they disagree about whether the ona'ah is 1/24th, 1/12th, or 1/6th, whereas talit, talit being representative of other metaltalim, over there, the Mishnah, our previous Mishnayot, only had one opinion, 1/6. I mean, aside from Rabbi Tarfon, maybe had 1/3. But other than that, all the Mishnayot used 1/6 as the standard. How come all of a sudden here we have a difference? So, Dolo Pligit, Sama Rovo. Now we're going to have Machlokas Rovo and Abai here, how to explain this question. And throughout the daf, Rovo and Abai will argue about each piece of our Mishnah. Alright, so now, Amar Rava, Mantana Talit. Who's the author of these previous Mishnayot? Rabbi Shimoni. No problem. We have three opinions over here, and the three opinions would be applicable also to Talit, not just to coins. So why does the previous Mishnah discuss this Talit only mention a 6? Because you know who the author of that Mishnah is? Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's the one who believes in this Mishnah 1/6, and he's the author of the other Mishnayot. Abai Amar, no. Talit ad shrut mochilinish. That by a talit, now here it's particular to begadim, alright, we'll see in a second, Tosfos asks, well then, what about other metalklim? But he says, by a talit, people are willing to be mochel until a sixth. Why? Damar Yishe, there's a common saying, ashik legabich, right, that you should overspend for your back, meaning that you should overspend on your clothing, b'shavi lekarsich, and for your belly, you should only spend at market. So you only pay at market prices to fill yourself, meaning to eat. But when it comes to clothing, you should overpay. So over here, there's a particular, right, people are willing to, in a particular way, to overpay, right, for their clothing. And so up to a sixth, people will overpay for their clothing. But, sela, came into losagi le lo machil. When it comes to coinage, the only issue at hand is whether it's currency or not. Will people accept it or not accept it? So there, the argument is not about Mechila, not Mechila. Everybody's mochel if the coin is accepted in the market. So what the Tanaim are arguing about is, until what point will the coin be accepted in the market? Is it 1/24th, 1/12th, or 1/6th? So here is the practical issue, a coin. How long does a coin remain a coin and usable? And that's what they're arguing about here. When it comes to a talit, we're dealing with, okay, there's just one issue, which is people will overpay for their clothing. How much will they overpay? They'll overpay up to a sixth. Now Tosfos asked the obvious question, well, if that's the case, right.
Go to the market and see what the...
Also, what is... What do you do with... Right, hero, food, anything else. I mean, that's unique to... And especially here...
Especially the statement specifically says that don't...
Very good, right. That it says, Shavi Kaseh, only pay at market for those prices. So Tosfos says, if you look at Tosfos, Ashik L'Gabich, V'yiv Domar, Tinach, Nitaneh Lokeach, Nitaneh Imocher Mai. First of all, Tosfos says, that's good for the Lokeach, that's for the buyer. What about, we know that Ona applies also to the Mocher. Right, if the mocher has ona, over here we're only talking about a buyer. A buyer overpays. Who says that a seller will sell his merchandise below market? That's number one. Ikal meimar, vatinach ksut, perot ma ikal meimar. Again, what are you going to do with it? So Yesh Lamar, to lo pali, lo plug Rabbana. First answer, Tosis like a Baal Patish answer, the Rabbana lo plug. Once tablet was 1.6, so they made it 1.6 for everything. Right. Vayu Yesh Lamar, so this is the other way, to Ikar Tama Bisela. Kevitel Sagi lo Macha. Right, so the question here is, which side is the emphasis on? Is the emphasis on why is Selah different, or is the emphasis on why Talit is different? Right, so until this point, the way we read it a little bit was that Talit is different because you'd overpay for Talit and you're Mochel. But then it says, no, coin is the standard here, right, and what we're describing is why is coin different? Right, everything else is six, that we understand, here we have a nice little saying that makes it sound good. But the real issue is, why is a coin not a sixth? A coin is not a sixth because a coin, the only relevant information is about whether it's usable in the shul. So it says you focus on the other side, then you don't have these other issues, because that's just a sidebar. That's a side issue about the sixth or why people overpay for their clothing. The real issue is by a coin, why do we allow for less than a sixth?
How could the machlokes be based on what the metzius is in the market? Why don't they just say go to the market and see what's acceptable?
I think it's a machlokes about the metzius, but I would just guess that people, the range would span between 1/24 to 1/6 of people accepting these coins. And the Chachamim had to say, okay, what is the standard? Right, other. So where do we create this objective line where we say that most people are within this category? How do we deal with creating a standard by which most people can use it? It'll capture 80% of what goes on in the marketplace. And then if you use it above that point, it's going to be on us. So they were trying to set that standard. It is still based off the Mitzvah. I can't deny it. But yeah, that is what seems to be the driving force here for the character, like in the bell curve, 80% of the people they want to know is in what range. Alright, Kupa. I commented Sala Khasirabiya Bayona, right? So this is the Bryce that we quoted before. Rabbi Meir Omer Arba Yisarel Tisada Dinar, so that's like in our Mishnah 1:24, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Dala Pundiot Pundion the Dinar is 1:12, Rabbi Shimon Omer Shimon Pundiot Shnei Pundionim the Dinar, which would be 1/6. Right, Yeter Al Kain. So Yeter Al Kain Mochra Bishovya. So more than that, you can sell it for its true value. So over here now, this Breiser introduces a new idea, which is that the Mishnah, until this point, had used what we call like black lines. It's black and white. Either you can use it or you can't use it based on whether it's onah or not onah. Now we have this introduction in the Breiser, which is that there's actually a secondary stage. There's a stage in which you can use the coin as currency, as a full seller. Up to which point can you use it and present it as a full seller? Beyond that point, normally we've said is batel metach, we can't use it. Now, what the price introduces is that if it's greater than that amount, you could also use the coin, you just can't present it as a seller. You have to use the coin for its true underlying value, which is its whatever its weight or whatever its deficiency is regarding a seller. How much can the coin be worn down until the point that you're no longer allowed to use it? So now you'll actually have three stages in a coin's life. You have obviously a full coin which can be used, but then a full coin can lose some of its, you know, wear down a little bit and still be qualified as a full coin. Then you move to a secondary stage where the coin is worn down more than it's acceptable to use as the full value of that coin, but still you could use the coin for its true value, whatever that value is now. Meaning if you weigh it and it's 70% of what a seller is, then you can use it for 70% of a seller. Then there's a third stage beyond which you're not allowed to use the coin at all. I mean, that it's so worn down to a point where you can't use the coin anymore. What is that? Pesela and shekel. Now, sela until a shekel. A sela has two shekel in it. Right? Two shekel kodesh make up a sela. So a sela and a shekel means up to 50%. It can be worn down up to the point of 50%. Then you can use it. So you can present it until that point. Bidinar ad rova. A dinar, this is unclear. The Gemara will discuss this in a minute. What does it mean, dinar ad rova? Does it mean until a quarter, or does it mean something else? Right? Pachot nikein. Isar is asur. This is also a cryptic, ambiguous statement in the price, which the Gemara will discuss. But beyond that point, it sounds like it is asur to use. Harzeh, lo yim karena lo letagar. And if the coin is not usable, you may not sell it, not to a merchant, below the cherim, and not to a, you know, strong man, mafiosa, below the herig, right? And not to a murderers, or people who are scary people, I would say, in the marketplace. Mipnesh meramim by tacherim. They force other people to accept these coins. And they'll have to, if you sell them to them, then they're going to use these, what otherwise would be improper coins to use, and they're going to force other people to take them.
But if one would be okay to use it for them only, the problem is they're going to pass it out.
That you would say, we're...
They're cheating anyway.
So even these people, they're cheating anyway, and you think that you can give it to them and, you know, cheat those who cheat.
I think, no, you can't give it to these people because these people will make a market in it for you. They will accept this coin from you, and it's whatever, below 50% value. They'll buy it from you because then they'll go and use it at a higher value. I mean, they'll buy it. Eli Kavena, what you do with it, drill a hole through it, make it into an asimon and hang it on a necklace, right, on your children. Right, so now, Amar, the sella ad shekel, when it comes to a sella ad shekel, betina ad rova. My shnab is sella ad shekel. Why by a sella do we go down until 50%? You're allowed to use it for its true, for the value. It's now, you know, it's whatever the value weight is now. Until 50%. Whereas a maishnabi dinar, why by a dinar you have to wait a quarter, 25%? So how come by a seller you can let it go down to 50% of its value, and by a dinar you go, you have to all the way use it all the way down to 25% of its value? Rabbi, my rova diktani, nami rova shekel. The rova here is not a rova of a dinar, but rather a rova of a shekel, a quarter of a shekel. A quarter of a shekel will then turn out to be, right, chazi dinar. Why? Because, if you remember now, a seller has 4 dinar in it, right? If a seller has 4 dinar, and there are 2 shekel, right, in a seller, the shekel is each shekel's worth 2 dinar. So if each shekel's worth 2 dinar, what's a quarter of a shekel? A quarter of a shekel is half a dinar. So half a dinar against a dinar is 50%. Right? And it turns out, just to make it more confusing, but if you take this half dinar relative to a seller, this half dinar relative to a seller is 1/8 of a seller. Right, it's 1/8 of a sella, and if you remember, we have this in the Gemara in Kedushin and in other places. We had it just earlier here in the Gemara in Bava Metzia that sella medina, right, versus the sella of Tzuri is 1/8. Right, there's a difference. It's 8 times. The sella of Tzuri is 8 times the sella medina. That means that this half dinar is really a sella medina. So this sella medina relative to a sella Tzuri is 1/8. And so this. When you say rova shekel, you're talking about the sella medina, which is really a half dinar, 50% of a dinar. So now you have the same relationship. You have the same relationship now, which is the sella to a shekel is 50%, and a dinar to a rova shekel, or to a sella medina, is also 50%. You're allowed to use it down to its 50% value. Now, beyond that, so amarava deka nami, that it makes sense, nami diktani rova. It says rova, meaning that it seems to be that it's, you know, rova what? You know, I mean a quarter of something that should be already defined. The loktani revia. Right? I mean, revia would reference back to the coin that you spoke about, which is a quarter of the coin. Dinar, the revia, which would be a quarter of that coin. When you use the rova, it sounds like you're talking about something we know about, some quarter that we know about before. Well, what did we mention before? You mentioned the shekel beforehand. It's referencing that. Shvamina. So Mar says, Lamale the mitle the dinar b'shekel. Well, why don't you just say half dinar? Why create this confusing lashon of being told that it in the shekel? Milta gavorchei kamashkalan. When it comes to teachers, a sidebar or another piece of information that tikar dinar dati mishekel, right? That there is a dinar that can come from a shekel. Besides the Rabbi Ami, why is that relevant? Because this is what Rabbi Ami says. Damar Rabbi Ami, dinar haba mishekel mutar lekaimo. Dinar haba misela asur lekaimo. So a dinar can be formed in two ways. A dinar, right, again, is a quarter of a sella, but it's half a shekel. So now, if a dinar, you could have a coin, two dinarim. One came originally from a sella coin, and now is a dinar. And one came from a shekel, and now is a dinar. It's been reduced down to a dinar. Both of them now are dinarim. They're the weight of a dinar, and they can be, right, they should be able to use as a dinar. Rabbi Ami says, no. Well, for when it came from a shekel, you can use it. Why? Because it's 50% of the original coin value. On the other hand, if a dinar originated from a sella, then it's a quarter of the original coin's value, and you will not be permitted to use it. Now, why? Right? I've just given it as a given now, that up to 50% of the coin, the original coin's value, you may use a coin. Once it gets down to a quarter of that value, you can't use it anymore.
That's a better question, because now right now they look the same. So how,
right.
How do
they don't look the same. That's the issue. That's exactly the issue. The issue is that larger coins were wider and thicker. Right? Larger coins were wider and thicker. How they wore down, we always think about coins wearing down from the side. That's not necessarily true. They could be wearing down from like the tops and bottom, the thickness was wearing down. So what we're afraid of along the way is that if a coin wears down until a certain point, we're willing to accept it. Why? Because the differentiation is clear between the two different coins. What we're afraid of is once it goes below that value, that people will pass it off as the coin above its value. So for instance, if you had started out with a sella, right, when it reaches down to a shekel, until the point it reaches a shekel, we allow to use it, because there it's clear it's not a sella anymore. Right? When it reaches the shekel point, you can use it as a shekel. What we're afraid of is that when it drops below the value of a shekel, then a person will present it as a shekel now, and people will be confused. Because of the size of the coin, they'll think of it as a shekel coin, and not as being, let's say, for instance, a dinar anymore. So the problem is that exactly what David was pointing out is not true. Right? A dinar that comes from a sela, and a dinar that comes from a shekel will look different. Right? That one, for instance, the dinar that came from a sela will be a bigger coin.
The dinar that comes from a sela will be more likely to pass off.
Up as a shekel, exactly. Than a dinar that comes from a shekel itself, which will not look like a shekel. So for exactly that reason, we let you up to the 50-cent point, which it will not look like the previous coin. We don't let you do that. But if it drops below the 50% of the original coin, we're afraid you're going to pass it off as one of the middle coins because it's bigger or thicker and looks more like that middle coin. So there we say no more usage of this coin. Now, the Gemara deals with one of the ambiguous statements in the Braisa. Pachot mikain isar asur. In the middle of the Braisa it says, less than that an isar is asur. Less than what? And what is asur over here? So now, my kamar. So Ambayi says, I'm Rabbi Yochi kamar. This is what it means. Pachta sela yoter mikdeona isar asur. So it says, if a sela drops below the amount of an ona, more than an isar is worth below that ona, then it's asur. Alright, so now, I mean, it's a strange.
Asur to retain it or asur to
right, it sounds like asur to retain it at all. Then you can't use it anymore. That's what it sounds like. That's the way Rashi learns it. Right, the way Rashi learns it over here, it says here that asur means lotziah biyafeh. Alright, you can't use it or represent or present it as a sela anymore. Alright, so that's the. Right, a sela shlema. The way Rashi is learning it is I have a coin here. Up to the point of ona, I can present it as a sela. Now, Rabbi introduces that even an isar more, up to an isar more of that, you can present it as a sela. Obviously, Tosfos asks right away. Right. Ona is the cutoff point, meaning that once you go beyond that, it's a mekach taot. So why can it be that after that point you could use it up to a matter of an isar? I mean, what is that concept? So Tosfos says that maybe, I mean, or you could explain it in Rashi this way, that if you present the coin as a sela and are willing to make up the differential of the ona, then up to, it sounds like from Abai, up to that point, you can present it as a sela and say, I'll make up the differential. Right? But beyond that point. Right, it sounds like a differential up to a sela, up to the sela, the full amount. It also says, V'yishlamar demayri baf datolach zero na, asur. Kevin da mekach talutu. Aval kadei ona mutar lo tziah biyafeh, v'yishlam zero na imitvenu. Right, so as long as you're allowed to present the coin up to that amount of ona, and if the person comes and makes his claim for ona, you have to pay it back. But beyond that point, right, then you can't. You can't do it because the mekach will not be kayam. Alright, that's his explanation of the one explanation of Abai. Tosfos presents the other explanation of Abai. Olyef eish tofaresh that Amar Abai asur lo tziah afilu b'shovya. Which is the second part of the Braisa. I mean, that the way we're first reading, the way Rashi's reading it, it's modifying the Ona part of the Braisa. That the Ona part of the Braisa, which says that you can use a coin as a full sela up to this point, Abai says, well, you can use it up to like an Isar past that point. But otherwise, then you can't use it. Now, it also presents another, which seems to make more sense in the flow of the Braisa. So the Braisa first said, here's Ona. Then the Braisa says, beyond Ona, you can present the coin for its true value now, what it's. Right, what it weighs at this point in time. You can't use it as a full sale, you can use its true value. So Abai says, that is only true up to an isar worth after, right, the ona, point of ona. That's it. Asur lo tziah afilu b'shovya, that you can't use it after that point. Aval pachot misar shari, delefzeh mubah chashuv lo lefzeh mumah. Right, so up to the point of a isar's worth. Beyond that, they don't let you use it. But for less than isar's worth, that's only a small loss of beyond the ona point, that the Chachamim weren't so worried about if you use it at that point. Right? Then Rava comes back to him and says, what are you talking about? If there's a threshold, right? I'm a Rava. If there's a threshold, then if there's a threshold, if there's a limit, then anything below that limit should be problematic. Why are we all of a sudden extending it in Isar beyond the limit? Doesn't make any sense. Hello, I'm a Rava. Pachta sela Isar the dinar asur. So that if a sela loses more than the isar's worth for a dinar, isar to a dinar, asur. V'stoma k'Rabbi Meir. That's not. Stoma k'Rabbi Meir. What is Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says 1/6. that it is a isar worth to a, I'm sorry, 1/24th, that it's isar worth to a dinar, and isar worth to a dinar will get you 1/24th. So the price is just saying, in a stump form, the position of Rabbi Meir.
I don't understand how Rabbi's definition solves his problem.
Rabbi is saying that we have a threat, either the way Rashi explains it, or the way Tosfos explains it, we have a threshold of onah, or we have a threshold beyond which it's not allowed to use a coin. All of a sudden, Abai says that beyond you can use an up to an isar beyond that threshold is still okay. What do you mean? Why should it be? If Onoah starts at this point, why is he giving you an additional isar beyond that point to use it? Doesn't make so much sense. Right, basically. So that's what Rava says, then it should be just whenever you cross the line, whatever Mashu crosses the line, then it should be a sur. So Rava explains that part of the braisa having nothing to do with those thresholds. He just explained, Fachot Mikain, if it's below the threshold of Onoah, it's a sur. What is behold the threshold of an awe? That's an isar. Who's the one who said that an isar to a dinar creates an awe? That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says you get one isar per dinar, four dinar in a selah. That's four isar to a selah, which is 1/24th. So he's just saying that is Rabbi Meir's position.
And the price is Rabbi Meir.
Right, that part of the price is Rabbi Meir. Exactly. That's all he's saying. All right, so now, it's not atam. We have a Mishnah. Selah shenif salavi, tkinah sheyeshu kelba mishkalot. A seller that was worn down, he no longer is using it as currency, but rather he's using it as a weight. Then is it tmeyah, because he's using it as a clean now instead of a coin or a currency, and therefore it's mekabel tumah. How much can it wear down and still be usable? The Mary says, the seller, shnei dinarim. For a seller, two dinarim, which is two dinars a shekel, it's exactly what we've seen until now, which is up to 50% of the coin's value, you can keep it around. Beyond that amount, we don't let you keep it around because we're afraid people, even if it gets, you're not using it for a weight anymore, people will use it, start using it as a coin again, and they're going to pass it off as a good coin. But chot mikain, if it's less than that, you coats. You have to destroy it, right? You have to cut it up, destroy it. Yeter al kain, my. Above that point, what is the din? Okay, so now we have, again, when we talked about different areas, we talked about the fact that at the 50% point now, and lower, that coin cannot be used anymore, and you must destroy the coin. Right, that we have a clear picture of. We also know that the onah threshold, right, which is up to the point of onah, you may present the coin as a full coin, as whatever is written on it. If it's a sella, you present it as a sella after the point of onah. Between onah and the 50%, what is the din? Now we saw in our braisa that ad shuvya, right, that you can use it for its true value, now what is the true value weight is. Now, yetzer al-kain, right, meaning more, what is this? Is that true all the way from onah to 50%? You're allowed to use it for shovya, is that really true? So now we have a machlokas amoreim. Amar Rav Huna, pachot mikain ikots, yetzer al-kain ikots. Right, so Rav Huna says, doesn't matter. If it's more than 50% or less than 50%, you got to destroy it. Why? Because at 50% level, it's another coin. For instance, a sell at 50%, you can use it as a shekel. But if it's bigger than that shekel amount, or it's less than that shekel amount, we don't want you using it anymore. If it's less than that shekel amount, we're afraid you're going to pass it off as a shekel coin, and you're going to be cheating people. Above that shekel amount, right, we're afraid that maybe you'll come to use it, maybe as a seller. We don't know what you're going to do with it, but it's not a shekel, so we don't want you using it. Rabbi Ami Amar.
We said you
could
use it for its
value. So that's what you have to deal with. Rabbi Ami Amar, pachot mikain ikots. So Rabbi Ami says, no, if it's less than that 50% threshold, destroy it. Above that, you can use it. Meitave. We have a Mishnah. Yeter al-kain mukhra b'shovya. What Rabbi just asked. What do you mean? The Brice explicitly said that if it's more than the amount of onah, which is how we read it in the Mishnah, right? Yeter al-kain means there's a threshold of onah. Beyond that threshold of onah, you no longer can present it as a sela yafeh, but you can use it for its weight or what its true value is now. My love, shepachta yoter mikdei onata, that it went down in value more than onah. So if it's more than the onah, then it's between that threshold of onah and the 50%. Then what do you see? You can present that coin. So Mar says, no, yitera dakati lo pachta mikdei onata. Yitera means above the threshold of onah. Not like we're saying below the threshold of onah, but rather above the threshold of onah. Mochra b'shavya, that above the threshold of onah, then you can use it for its true value. What is its true value meaning? Meaning that it's coin, as what it is a coin. It's above it, its face value, right. Whatever the face, very good. That's a good word for it. The face value of the coin.
Could you just explain what this, the
Only if it becomes the value of the new coin may you use it as that coin. For instance, if a seller wears down to the shekel, then you can use it as a shekel. Right. But if it's not a shekel, you can't use it. If it's above a shekel or below a shekel, you can't use it.
You should have destroyed it.
Right. If it changes serially, which it does, and it all the way until it reaches...
So the Gemara is going to ask you a question, right? Very good. I think that's the next question. The Gemara, exactly. Your question. How much can it wear down until you can use it? The sella a shekel. From a sella until it reaches the 50% of a shekel. My love, the pachit, porta porta. That's what Shaul just asked, right? I mean, a coin doesn't move from a sella to a shekel instantly, right? It wears down over time. That is a process of wearing down. So that means that the coin had to exist between the time it was a sella to the time it was a shekel. So how does everyone explain that? Look. Fell into a fire and it melted down to the point of the shekel. Right? Yeah.
And then it means even a smidgen, but in the case that it was talking about, it went down to a shekel.
It went down to a shekel. It's the only way Rabbuna can explain it. Because if it was down only halfway, say it went down 25%, according to Rabbuna, you have to destroy the coin. It's the only way Rabbuna will work, the case, or this bracelet where it says if it wears down, you may use it, is only if it happens in one shot, where it moves from a seller to a shekel. But if it wears down from a seller to a shekel, that you can't use the coin in the interim steps, you have to destroy it so it'll never get to a shekel. Right, or maybe you'll wear it down until it reaches a shekel. Right, either way, but Rav Huna is obviously very difficult in that case. So, Amar Mar, so now we're going to discuss the next part of the braisa. He punches a hole in it. If it's below 50%, the 50% threshold, then you have to drill a hole in it and you make it into a necklace. Vermini.
You can have a necklace
of
boys too. Yeah.
Right. Velo yasena mishkal ben mishkalotav. Velo yisrakena ben grutotav. You shouldn't make it into a weight when it's below that 50% threshold. You shouldn't throw it amongst your raw metal or whatever, your pieces of metal. Velo yikabena vitzlena bitzavar beno bitzavar bito. Don't make it into a necklace. So now, Ella, o yishchok, o yitoch, o yikotz, o yolich liyamamach. Either yishchok, you wear it down until it's not, you know, it's not useful anymore. O yitoch, here there's machokes in the gear, so whether it's yachtoch, you should cut it. Or yitoch, which Rashi brings when they're shown hatacha, which is meltdown, right? O yikotz, right, either you cut it up. O yolich liyamamach, or you throw it into yamach, which was the standard by which it worked, then it would eat it up, right? The salt water would destroy the coin. So, now you have a braisa that says you can make it into a necklace, and you have a braisa that says you cannot make it into a necklace. Depends where you punch the hole. If you punch the hole in the middle, then you can make it into a necklace, because then it's obvious it's not a good coin anymore, because the hole's straight down the middle. If you make the hole on the side of it, then it's not so obvious anymore that it's not a coin that's in good standing, because that's the equivalent of how the coins got worn down. Coins in their day, when they got worn down, would chip at the side, right, would have little holes on the side. Therefore, we don't allow you to make holes on the sides if you post-sell the coin, but we do allow you to make a hole in the middle where it's obvious that the coin is no longer in circulation when you punch the hole through the middle.
So people say that you can't use it as a weight. That is when it runs around that. The reason is, again,
it might come back into currency, right?
We use it and try to pass it on.
As a coin, or even as a weight. Say, I want a shekel's worth of weights. So that even in the weighting, you could cheat the person because it looks like a shekel, right? So. I'm just speculating. I think the real reason is that it will come back into be currency, but I'm saying even in weights you could say, oh, I'm going to weigh a shekel against your shekel weight. Right, a shekel weight, and now it's not really a shekel because it's worn down more than a shekel, but it looks like a shekel. Right? Ad matai mutar lachzir bekrachim. Until when can you return it in the cities? Again, before, in the previous Mishnayot, we only had one standard. What was the standard? Kadesh Yirela Tagaro Provo. All of a sudden over here, by Talit, depends if you live in the city, depends if you live in the village. Why all of a sudden is there a new standard by coins that have multiple standards, and by Metaltalin there aren't multiple standards? Amar Abai. Ki Tanan Nami Mastisim Betalit Pekachim Tanan. That's the other Mishnayot are just talking about merchandise in cities. That's it. It's Nukim to the other Mishnayot. It's merchandise in cities. Merchandise in cities, right? There's a standard, Kadesh Yirela Tagar Kovo, which is the equivalent of Kadesh Yirela Shulchani. Shulchani is the Tagar for money. So that's the same standard that we're using across the board. Rav Amar, of course, the Bayan Rav argue about everything here. Rav Amar, Talit Ko Inish Kimle Begava. When it comes to clothing, everybody knows the price of clothing. I mean, that's not something that requires expertise or specific expertise. Selah gave it the law, Ko Inish Kimle Begava, Ela Shulchani. So that not everybody knows coins or when a coin is still acceptable, whether a coin is still valid currency. They're only the money changer knows that. So Hilkach b'farim dika shulchani, aishir el shulchani, b'kfarim dika leka shulchani, adarvei shabatot, tosalk in the shulka. In the kfarim, where there is no readily available shulchani, you have to wait until he tries to spend it in the shuk. Tries to spend it in the shuk, then he'll know whether it's good currency. So it really has to do with our expectations of what people are going to know. By clothing, we expect people, or easily to find people are going to know the value of clothing, whether it's the person themselves or their relative. Someone's going to know how much you pay for clothing. When it comes to coins, that's not an expertise which necessarily lay people know. If lay people don't know, we have to allow the person the ability to get to an expert. So in the Kfarim, it's easy. It gets to a Shulchan, they're available all the time. When you're in the Kfarim, that's just not readily available to you, so we have to extend the period over which you have the right to return such an object. Right now, imayam apira. So we said this is ambiguous in the Mishnah. If he recognizes the coin, afilu liachar shnimasar chodesh, even after 12 months, right, then he can return it. Heicha, where is this happening? Ibikrachim, if it's in the krachim, then he can return it after 12 months. Amar tachira l'shulchani. He only has an amount of time until he can show it to the shulchani. Ibikfarim, if it's in the villages, amar darvei shabatot. Why all of a sudden is there a new piece in the Mishnah that says you have 12 months to return it? This is a midat chasidut. If the person who gave him the coin, makira, recognizes the coin, he realizes this is the coin that he had given to this individual, he should take it back up to 12 months. He should take this coin back as good currency. If he passed it off as good currency, then he should give it back over 12 months. Now, meikra din, he's only required to take it back, ad shira l'shulchani, or ad vesha betot in the kfarim. Beyond that point in time, he does not have to accept the coin back. But, mitzad midat chasidut, he should accept the coin back. If he gave this individual this coin as a seller, then he should accept it as a seller back for up to 12 months as a midat chasidut.
It says, if the guy was handling it constantly over the 12 months, then
right, obviously, we have to look at it, right? Midat chasidut, that's makira, it's the same coin that he sees, that he gave. Meaning that if it's worn down, it's a different coin, he won't recognize it. He recognizes that being the same type of the exact coin that he gave him, then he should take it back.
Okay, but even the coin that he gave him, the guy's been handling it for a year, it'll wear down more.
Sometimes then he won't recognize it. It's not the same coin anymore, right?
And after that, it's not a business.
It's what? After that, it sounds like it's, yeah, because then it's, as Shaul is saying, it's going to wear down. I mean, you can't expect the guy after 12 months to say, oh yeah, sure, sure. After 12 months, you say, listen, that he realizes, now, whatever, give the guy a break, just take it back. But when it says, Yochi, what are you going to do? Aim a seifa. Aim lo alav, alo taromet. He only has complaints on him. Come on, who has complaints here? Ila chasid, if it's for the chasid, it's a great line in the Gemara. Lo kibule lik valer mine, velo taromet te'abile. Don't be a chasid and then complain. Meaning that the Gemara says, Rashi phrases it like this, Tov lo shalo yikablena, better not to accept it, mishikablena, you'd say, dibal chabero, and then speak lashon hara about this person. Meaning that if you're going to do a tova, if you're going to do a chesed for someone, don't do the chesed and then complain. Better not to do the chesed than to do the chesed and complain. So either, if the guy's going to do it, then he should just do it with an open heart and just take care of it. If he's going to complain about it, don't do the midat chesidut, don't do the chesed. Because that's not what we're expecting from you. We don't want you to do a chesed that you're going to complain about. Ve'ela, so what it must be, the hayech de kabla amine. So he says, it must be the person who got the coin from this individual, right, after he accepts it from him. So the bar, what to be kabla amine, taruma ta'avile? What complaint does he have now? The chesed took the coin back, so he has complaints? What complaint does he have? He got the coin back, it's been given to him, its full value as seller. He has no complaints left, there's nothing to complain about. So this is what it means, ha fair. I mean, if he doesn't come up into this guy's not a chassid, he's not willing to accept it back, then since he doesn't have a din against him, he failed to bring the coin back within the requisite return, right? You know, the return policy. He went beyond the time frame of the return policy, and therefore he's out of luck. And if the guy won't accept it back, that's his problem. He caused his own loss because he waited too long in order to return it.
So he could say, again, you don't have to be such a stickler, but he can't do more than that. He's got
right.
Legal recourse.
All right, so now we said the last line in the Mishnah is, Notna l'maser sheni v'enu choshei sheno nefesh ra'ah. So now he can use this coin for maser sheni because enu elo nefesh ra'ah. Now, I will go with the explanation of Rashi. Tosfos actually has three explanations of how to read this Gemara over here. He brings down one explanation, two explanations, and then he brings a third explanation of the Rivan, which he rejects. The middle explanation that he brings down is from Rabbi Yitzchak ben Rav Meir. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Rav Meir is the Rivan, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Rav Meir. Rav Meir was also the father of the Rabbeinu Tam, who was Rabbi Yaakov ben Rabbi Meir, and also the father of the Rashbam, Rav Shmuel ben Rabbi Meir. Right? They were three brothers. And Rav Meir happens to be married to the daughter of Rashi. Right? He's Rashi's son-in-law. So over here, the Tosfos quotes a Deya from Rav Yitzchak ben Rabbi Meir. So he's bringing the Rivam, who is bringing from his grandson, Rav Yitzchak ben Rabbi Meir. And that sounds like Rashi's pshat. So this middle pshat of Rashi, although he ends off differently, he concludes differently than Rashi, nevertheless he has that pshat that's similar to Rashi. So I'm going to use Rashi's pshat here, and then afterwards I'll just explain to you, I'll show you what Tosfos says about it, but I'll read the Gemara through as Rashi's pshat. Right now, Amar Rav Papa, Shmamina, Haiman Dumukim, Azuze Mikrei Nefesh Rav. From this we conclude that somebody who's a stickler about coins, is called a bad person. Or he's like a little bit of a miser, he's just not, right, you shouldn't be makbid on these types of things. The underlying assumption is that the coin is good currency. Other people would accept it, and this individual is not willing to accept it. That person's not a good person. So now, this is good for Chizkiyah, the Amar Chizkiyah. What does it mean, Misayle Chizkiyah? So Rashi says, what's going on in our Gemara here is the Mishnah is stating that if you have a coin that is slightly worn down, that some person won't accept, some guy won't accept it, but nevertheless, others will accept it as currency. You can go and be poder, your Maaser Sheni on this coin is equivalent of a full seller. So you have a seller that's worn down above the threshold of Onah, meaning that it hasn't reached the threshold of Onah. You can be poder, your Maaser Sheni on that coin as if it's a full seller. Why?
There are some
sticklers that won't take it. Nevertheless, you can do it. So now that's inside the Chizkiyah, the Amar Chizkiyah, Bala Porta V'Shovya. Right, if he comes to spend it in Yushalayim, when he comes to spend the sale in Yushalayim, he spends it based on what the true value is. What does that mean, the true value? If he comes to a guy who says, listen, it's worn down a bit, I'm not going to give you your full value, then you have to take whatever he gives you, you have to take for that amount, and that's the amount you spend in Yushalayim. Ba'al chalala, whereas when you're back in your hometown, and you want to redeem your payroll master sheni on the coin, at that point in time, right, you redeem it as a full-fledged coin, because most people will accept the selah as a full-fledged coin. So my kamar, even though when he comes to spend it to Yerushalayim, he bumps into sticklers who won't take it as a full selah, nevertheless, mean that when he redeems it, he can use it as a full-fledged selah, because most people will accept it as a selah. The memra, the sabr chizkiyah mezazlin b'maaser sheni. Maaser sheni will lose over here. Right? Maaser sheni is going to lose. Why? Because you're going to redeem your maaser sheni on the coin as a full seller, and then you go to Yerushalayim, it's not going to be worth a full seller. So maaser sheni loses in this process. That's exactly what chizkiyah says. Alright, that's fine. Maaser sheni can lose in this instance, which is what our Mishnah says. According to what we're saying now, our Mishnah says the same sort of thing. Our mission says, redeem your Maaser Sheni on a Sela that is missing a small amount from it, because most people accept that as going currency. But that means that if somebody doesn't accept it as a going currency, it's still good as a redemption, as a full Sela, even though you're not going to get back a full Sela worth of coins in Yerushalayim.
What does it mean when it says, per time, Do you mean that that's always allowed to be paraded for?
No, but if he comes to people who will only be paraded in Shavuot, he spends it with them, it's not a problem. He doesn't have to worry that, he has to find somebody who will accept it as a full value seller. Whatever that value that the person gives you, that's what he gets. Mar says, is that really true of Chizkiyah's position? Ba'amar Chizkiyah Maaser Sheni, She'en Bo Shaveh Pruta. So if he has Maaser Sheni, he found a little bit of Maaser Sheni left over, that's not worth a Pruta. You can't redeem less than a Pruta worth of Maaser Sheni. So now what is he going to do? He can't redeem it. So he says like this, when you redeem your own Maaser Sheni, you have to add on an additional fifth. But that item plus the Chomesh on top of it does not exceed a Pruta. He redeemed Maaser Sheni. Right? On another coin somewhere else, he has Maaser Sheni redeemed on a coin. What Chizkiyah says over here is that a person is not so perfect about their redemption. People overrate the amount of produce they're putting on a coin. Person's scared to eat Maaser Sheni. Because if he leaves the payroll with Maaser Sheni on it, then he's eating Maaser Sheni Chutz Yerushalayim. He's violating a law. So then, what does he do? He redeems it with coins. So now he takes a seller coin. When he redeems a seller worth of merchandise on the coin, he doesn't get it exact, because he wants to be sure that he covers everything here.
He's going to err on the side.
Right, he's going to err on the side of having more coinage or more space on the coin than actual merchandise that's here. So there will excess space be left on any coin. So what does Chizkiyah say? It says, take that extra little pruta and say it's redeemed on that coin. Why? Because then you're really basically enjoining it, right? You're enjoining it to the other maaseh that you redeemed, and you have space left on that coin. That's what you will, you'll place it onto that space. So what does that mean? That means that Chizkiyah believes that people are generous when it comes to maaseh sheni. They're not mezuzelin b'maaseh sheni. Sounds like they overpay for their redemption of maaseh sheni. So how can you explain that? So Mar says, no. How do you explain it? Might be yafeh, b'torat yafeh. When I mean that he is redeeming it as a yafeh, I mean b'torat yafeh. So Rashi explains, what does that mean, b'torat yafeh? Mishchalal aleh kfi damim v'adayim shela, kach lo yichalal azu ele b'damim v'adayim shela. Right, so if he's going to redeem it according to its value, its true value, kach lo yichalal azu ele b'damim v'adayim shela. And they also redeem it on its true value. What does that mean? The Trey Zila Lo Mezalzilin Bei. We do not, are not Mezalzilin in according to two levels of Zilzul. Right, so what does that mean? Rashi says, The Afukav Tetzna Notei Masir Sheni, that even though you can use a coin for Masir Sheni, Chazilin Tu Inay Shminin, Bechalel Al Sela Chasira, that you're allowed to use a Sela Chasira, Lo Minin Hari Huka Simon, O Kuma Ota Nitano Ot Vasimon. But Trey Zila Da Chalel Al Masir, But Tamei Sela Yefeh, Lo, that we don't say. So what the answer of Rashi in the end is that you can use it the Torah Yafeh, doesn't mean that you can use it as a full seller coin, but rather you can use it for Shovyo, Kadesh Shovya. So now, that will reconcile everything in the picture now. How do you explain the Mishnah? When the Mishnah says you can use a seller, right, chaser, for Maiser Sheni, what does it mean? It doesn't mean a seller that is up to Ona, that you're using it, you're passing it off as a full seller. Rather, you can use a seller that is missing for the value of what that sela is. We don't say that a sela that's chaser is like it's not a coin, and you can't redeem on it. No, we say it's a coin, but you have to use it for the value of whatever that coin is now. It's not its face value, but its true value. Why? Because we don't allow you to be mezalzel twice in a coin. We don't allow you to say, okay, it's a sela chaser. So not only are we going to say it's good currency, but we're going to say it's good currency and then use it as a full sela. No. If it's still a good coin or can be used, then you use it for its true value, not its face value. Because we only allow you to be mezalzel once in Chasid Sheni, not twice.
Wasn't
Leiser.
I mean,
Leiser,
that's what you're going to get in Yerushalayim for.
Right. So that will be also what you get for it in Yerushalayim. Then, if you say that, now we understand Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah says that people are generous when they redeem their Leiser Sheni on it. Because it's not allowing you to be mezalzel in the value of the coin. We're allowing you to use it as a coin. That in itself is not a zilzul really in Maaser Sheni in terms of value. So therefore we can still say that people are generous when they redeem their fruits onto the coins. They overpay in coinage for that value. And then again, the first statement of Chizkiyah which says that you can use a mechalale b'yafeh, right, and porta b'shovya, when he says mechalale b'yafeh, it doesn't mean b'yafeh as its face value, but yafeh means b'tora yafeh, you can use its true value. And when you use its true value, that's what you're going to get in Yerushalayim. You're going to get its true value. Now, Chizkiyah is reconciled all the way through, and then we'll explain the Mishnah the same way, that you can use it for Torot Shovya, meaning that you can use it for its true value, not its face value. So that'll be the conclusion.
What you get in Yerushalayim for it should end up being a little bit more than the amount of Maaser Sheni.
That you actually redeem that because you're doing it generously. Right. That we don't mind. But that you're being generous. You're being generous with it. But that is right. That would be the case. So that's the way Rashi learns it, the whole sugya here. Tosaf has two other opinions, which is, again, the Rivam has a similar opinion to Rashi, so I won't go over that. There's a Rivan who suggests that, no tele maaseh sheni b'sela shalem, otosh chasra kedei ona'a, that it's missing up the amount of ona'a, you can use it as a full seller for maaseh sheni. So he says, Mikasha, says, then why does the Mishnah call a person like that a nefesh ra'ah? Why? Because when it's up the amount of ona'a, a person is allowed to say to them, give me my ona back. That's not a nefesh ra'ah. He can ask for a return of his money. Ona is already a threshold which is too big. So Tosus rejects the Rivan's explanation. Gives one last explanation, which he brings down, which is the possibility that it's a case where it's chasara kadei ona kani, but now to the maaser sheni b'shovya. That he starts out with what Rashi considers the conclusion of the Gemara. He says it's actually the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara is starting out with a coin that's missing enough that you can't use it for its face value anymore, only for its true value. Right? That Shem Beit Matbea Yeshala, it still has a currency, a Shem currency, that you can use it for redemptions. Right? And that's why, and a person who doesn't accept it for its metal value is a Nefesh Ra'ah. And Rapapa comes to say that's true of, right, even other coins. That all the coins are true in that way. If you use it not for its face value, but for its weight, its metal value, that you're allowed to use it, and you'll be allowed to use it to redeem Maaser Sheni. Then the Gemara says, wait, uparich ain't the samseim lechalel b'shuvya. We see from Chizkiyah says that when you have a coin that's kasera, don't use it to, up to its exact amount. You have to give a discount to it. Right? Don't give it, don't redeem it at its true amount, but use it at its, because you can't be mitzamtzeim the amount. Right? So mechalel b'chol ma'at, ishum dein yachol mitzamtzeim k'mo yafesh, mechalel k'mo kein b'chol ma'at. Right? So that is the question of the Gemara over here. The question is, you can't be inland mitzamtzeim mechalel b'shuvya. You can't use its true value. That's what the Gemara says. Oh, so what does it mean? You can't use its true value. Then the Gemara in the end says, no, that it is actually bit Torah Tefeh. Right? That Torah Tefeh means don't use it for its absolute true weight value, but use it up to that amount, Torah Tefeh. Meaning that don't use it all of its value, but use it a little bit less than its true value. So again, in the end, it'll come back to being the same conclusion as Rashi, right? But they start out from a different starting point, right? Rashi starts out with the point that you're trying to use it for its face value. The Gemara questions whether you can really use a coin for its face value based on Chizkiyah. And then the Gemara's conclusion is that you use it for its true value, not its face value, but even when you use it its true value, people are overestimated, right? Don't redeem it for its full value. They only put on a portion of the Maaseh Sheni and they leave excess on it. So then in the end, that will be the consideration. When you redeem Maaseh Sheni on it, you have to leave a little bit. You have to underutilize the coin. So Tosfos on the other hand says, no, the Havamina of the Gemara was that you can use this coin for Shuvya for its true value, not its face value. Then the Gemara questions whether you can really use it for its true value. Why? Because Chizkiyah seems to say that if you have to, people are don't use it up to its full true value. So then the Gemara's conclusion is, you're right, right? You can't use it up to its full value. You can only use it up to a small amount below or a little less than its true value. And that would be the same conclusion that Rashi had. Okay, we'll stop over here.